Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noodles at Noon, the show that focuses on things that are not worth focusing on. I am your host, who is just happy to be here, and we are joined by our special guest host this week. Give a warm welcome to Daniel.
Hey, everybody. Great to be back. Good to see you, Ben.
Welcome back, Daniel. Just trying to beat Jesse at the most times guest hosting a show.
That's me. That's me. Chalk up another one.
What number are you at now?
Honestly, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. It's like five, maybe
losing
six,
count.
Something like
five
that.
Five or six, something like that. And we are joined this week by a man who is an expert on all things lemonade and has known me since kindergarten. It's Kimball.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the lemonade is coming from, but yeah, I've known Ben for a hot minute and just got married. Ben just came over and was my best man. The best man I've ever seen at any wedding. So Whoa. Shout out to him.
The lemonade thing came from the fact that in high school you were like, I know everything there is to know about lemonade. I make the best lemonade.
Oh, I hadn't made the best lemonade. I was just a connoisseur.
Yeah.
I am very far behind on the lemonade production train.
That's a big boast.
But it's like, I know a good lemonade when I taste it.
That's why I said you're the expert on all things lemonade.
Okay. I see what you're talking about now.
I was hyping you up, and you just came and be like, let's be realistic. It's okay, the hype train.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you all so much.
I'll accept an inflated sense of ego.
Perfect.
What's your go-to lemonade these days, Kimball?
Well, for a while, Chick-fil-A was the top dog.
It's pretty good.
Chick-fil-A is pretty good. But then, I don't know, I'm just kind of going off, and my wife makes a pretty good one.
Whoa.
Like, she does the straight out lemon squeeze.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
From scratch.
Julia, yeah. coming in strong.
Dang.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. You can catch us on noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
Or anywhere podcasts are available, like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and coming to you live this week from Monday Night Football, ESPN 3. We're on next to Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. We're not talking about the game at all. It's just playing while the game is going on.
Right. It's going on somewhere.
Yeah. So make sure you check us out there. Kimball, I just want to open up the floor. Tell us a little bit about yourself since this is your first time on the show.
Well, I am in Utah right now. I'm currently studying neuroscience at BYU. I kind of hopped around during COVID just because nobody liked to be in school during COVID. But then I decided to settle back down on neuroscience just because it's interesting. It kind of encapsulates my interest in medicine as well as the enigmas of the brain. Like I mentioned, I just got married and we're just navigating newly married life. And we're just trying to figure out and navigate this crazy world together. My wife is Julia, and like we previously mentioned, and she is awesome.
Julia is
awesome.
To add to Kimball's point about him bouncing around, when I dropped Kimball, or when Kimball and I had driven from his place to his wedding, he was a construction worker. And now he's in neuroscience.
Construction and so neuroscience.
That traditional jump that you make from construction management to neuroscience.
Well, theoretically, I jumped back. I was a neuroscience major. Then I was in COVID and I suck at learning online. And so a lot of the hard classes like organic chemistry and physics and stuff started just kicking my butt. And so then I was like, what's something easy and that's booming right now? Construction. And so I took a semester of construction classes, did really well, but construction's not all about the theory. It's all about the practice. And when I went and worked at it, it sucked. I hated it. And so it's like, time to go back to neuroscience.
Yeah, because I texted you like a week after you were supposed to start a job. And I was like, hey, Kimball, how's that job going? He's like, oh, I quit.
It was 2 weeks, actually.
It was when?
It was 2 weeks, actually. Give me some credit.
Oh, you made it 2 weeks. Okay.
Enough for you to realize, what have I done? It's such a different, demanding thing on your body. I mean, obviously, you said the practice of it, but also just the physicality of that type of work. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And like you go and you start learning what it's like to be the boss of the construction site when you're in college. And then when you're the grunt, it's like night and day, and the bosses aren't even nice and the bosses aren't even good at what they do. And it's not a fun environment to be around. And I went back. I hadn't quit my job at the plasma center where I was working at before when I was pre-med. And so I just held on to that job, went back up in hours and said, yeah, I'll never leave you again.
Nice.
Well, perfect. I'm glad that you are back doing something that you enjoy, because that's always important. Speaking of things that we enjoy, Daniel, yo. I think you are going to talk about tacos.
I can always talk about tacos. I mean, you guys are taco lovers, right? You appreciate a good taco.
Oh, yeah, I served in Mexico.
He did, yeah. Kimball did his Mormon mission in Monterrey, Mexico.
Oh, man, yeah. So, like, the seedier the place, the scarier, sketchy-looking place, the better the tacos, almost.
Always.
There's a place where I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it's a taco truck that's only there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they don't speak English, right, which means the tacos are better. And it's just $1 for a taco, and I just go there and I get like as many tacos as I want, and they're all just so good.
Right. No, I might be the same truck. There's a truck that whenever I see it in town, we stop by. We've had it out to the place where I work occasionally, and man, it's great. Tacos. Yeah, I think we all love tacos. There's a running joke. Actually, one of the owners of the company I work for, one point we were kind of, you know, asking where he wanted to go to lunch because we were all going out to lunch together. And he said, you know, I kind of like that little Mexican place just down the street in front of Costco. And we're trying to think what, I didn't know there was a Mexican place like right down the street in front of Costco. And like, then it hit me. There's a Taco Bell.
There's
there.
A Taco Bell.
And I said, are you talking about Taco Bell, Bob? And he's like, yeah, that place, they have really good tacos. Anyway, it was quite a stretch, but man, they maybe are not on the par that we've been talking about, but Taco Bell, along with a couple other large franchise chains, are experimenting with a thing called the Taco Lovers Pass. Have you heard about this?
No.
So it's a little bit like some of the subscription things that some of the coffee shops have been doing. Like Panera has a subscription where for like $18 a month, you get unlimited coffee. And of course, they're going to like bank on you getting a thing or two extra. You know what I mean? So they're kind of giving away coffee, but you can get a subscription to Panera Coffee. So Taco Bell is experimenting with what they're calling the Taco Lovers Pass. For $10 a month, you can get free tacos during the month of your subscription. So I think there's all kinds of like asterisks and caveats and that kind of stuff. But from what it looks like, for $10 a month, you get a free taco every day for the month of your subscription. And then, of course, you can re-up. So I don't know. I mean, it might be $10. It's not that bad these days, being able to pop in and get a taco anytime you're wanting it. There you go. I mean, I just saw it. I don't think I'm going to do it. Maybe I'll talk myself into it. What do you guys think? Subscription to tacos?
How much is a Taco Bell taco? Because, like, if I remember correctly, you can get, like, 10 tacos at Taco Bell for a quarter. So, like... Well,
it's $1.29, actually. There I you work go. Right See? Down the street from one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Kimball is still in college. He knows the exact price of a Taco Bell taco.
Yeah. I don't know. I might actually do that. It's a kind of a cool thing. I really wish that the food truck you guys are talking about would do that, because I would enjoy my life a lot more than if I went to Taco Bell.
Right.
I don't know if it destroys you the same way, but...
At $1.29, that's about $40. So you'd be saving yourself about $30 if you bought one taco every day at $1.29.
That's what I'm talking about.
You also have to consider the emotional and physical costs of getting your money's worth out of this deal in eating Taco Bell tacos.
And also, if you're limited by one taco a day, I would end up still buying more tacos.
Exactly.
Because, like, you don't get full off of one taco. So, and then I'd feel obligated to go every single day to get my free taco. And then I'm already there. Might as well get my fill worth of tacos. It's just, that's a vicious cycle.
Kimball has just figured out how marketing works.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It starts out sounding like Taco Bell is doing us the biggest favor in the world. But what we've realized that we are victims of Taco Bell's nefarious means.
We're just cogs in the machine.
Cogs in the machine, right.
Cogs in the Taco Bell machine.
I like what you said, Ben, the emotional and physical cost of a taco every day from Taco Bell. What are you thinking about?
I mean,
right.
Probably like what Kimball said, you feel obligated.
Yeah.
And then you've entered into this abusive relationship with Taco Bell.
Right. I mean, maybe I was thinking like middle school toilet humor, because the quality of the ingredients in Taco Bell tacos are not the highest. And like, if you continually ingest those ingredients over time, it would probably have a physical repercussion on your body.
No, I like that, and I just meant the emotional, but the physical part is you it's some sort of cleanse,
right?
That you've put yourself on, like a Taco Bell cleanse.
Gosh.
And not,
fun fact, when you're getting a colonoscopy, that stuff that they make you drink is just Taco Bell ingredients.
Oh man.
That's disgusting.
Is that experience there, Ben?
No.
Yikes.
No comment.
No comment.
Well, I mean, what you put in the show notes is, are you an official taco lover? Are you asserting that to be an official taco lover, you have to sign up for this program?
That's Taco Bell's marketing ploy there. They're asking you, the Taco Bell casual customer, are you an official taco lover? So they're trying to hook you and pull you in. They're questioning your true love of tacos, and implying that in order to be a true lover of tacos, you will be a Taco Lover Pass owner. I don't know. Sounds fishy. I'm staying away.
You're giving me something to think about, Daniel.
I don't know, but like, how can I say I don't love tacos?
I know.
It's working. It's working on me right now. It's working.
Second guessing everything. Stay away, Kimball. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Kimball.
Find the taco truck.
Find Julia. Have her save you. I think I'm next on the weekly update, and I just wanted to, as some of you may know, I have a channel in the Noodles at Noon podcast channel. If you haven't joined the Noodles at Noon Discord, go to noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
And click join the Discord. I have a channel in there. It's called Ben's Health Club. I think Michael made it relatively sarcastically, given that, yes, I am the most athletic out of the three of us. However, I'm not excessively athletic. But I do play baseball. I've been playing baseball since I was in fourth grade. And I've also started, I did it in the past, but I've started again playing slow pitch softball. And one of the things that I've noticed in the difference between my adult men's wood bat baseball league that I play in and the slow pitch softball league that I play in is that I'm considered very, very good in the slow pitch softball league and not that good in the other league. Because, like, in my baseball league, I typically sit on the bench. I'm used defensively every now and then. But for the most part, I'm just kind of there because sometimes they need somebody to stand there. Whereas in the softball league, I'm considered the young athletic one.
Right.
As opposed to all the other old middle-aged people who are, yeah. I was told, so last week, I had a baseball game because my baseball games and my softball games are on the same day, so I only go straight from one to the other. And in my softball group text thing, they were like, hey, we need some extra guys. So I asked some of the guys from my baseball team if they wanted to come play in the slow pitch softball game.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah. And we got there. And then So like they got there and the captain for the slow pitch softball team like posted the lineup and they went and checked it and they're like, Ben, you're batting third, which is like where like one of the better batters would hit in the lineup. Right. And I was like, yeah, I bat third. And they're like, and you're playing shortstop, which is like one of the most demanding positions on a baseball field. And I was just like, yeah, I'm playing shortstop. And they're like taking pictures of the lineup and sending it to our baseball group chat. That was like, we've entered the alternate universe where Ben is the good player. And I was just like, I'll take it.
Right.
So I just thought it was interesting. The polarities between like, I truly enjoy playing baseball. And even though I might not be the best at it, I still have fun doing it. And then slow pitch softball, I might be better at it, but it's just fun. So my PSA for this week, find something that you love doing and then put it in perspective as, you know what, this is just for fun, no matter how you are involved in it. If you sit on the bench or if you're playing shortstop, just have fun. That's the Ben Shoemate PSA for the week.
Oh, man, that's good. Hey, it's fun for you, but think about those other teams. I assume this is a recreational softball league.
It is.
I've played on plenty of those teams, and granted, none of us are ever that great. You know, you win some, you lose some, but then you come up against that team that's got three or four guys that like have actual baseball pants on. Like you can tell that they're exactly what you just described. They're coming from some other reality, stepping down into our little lowly universe and then just creaming us. So it might be fun for you, but those poor opponents that you're having to face.
That's a great time.
Uncle Rico.
I always wear a bucket hat, too. I go from wearing my baseball hat to wearing a bucket hat, just as kind of like my own, like, I don't have to be as competitive here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear my bucket hat and make some great plays and
your
have fun.
Your mental shift.
Yeah. Yep. Just put on a bucket hat.
Coach would have put me in the fourth quarter. We ought to hit that baseball over the mountains for sure, man.
Right.
Except for they don't have quarters.
Back when I was young. I don't know what sport Kimball just alluded to because he like incorporated three. He's like, yeah, put me in the fourth quarter. I'm going to hit the baseball over the mountains.
Right. No, I got it. I think I knew that reference.
I'm tracking. Kimball, do you have any fun updates or news flashes apparently as we talk about tacos or PSAs from your past week or past forever,
well,
I guess?
Well, interesting enough, I do. Recently, Julie and I have been a part of a treasure hunt, and Ben knows enough about geocaching that we've done our fair share of that as well.
Yeah.
But this is no geocaching. Yeah. This is a $50,000 prize hidden somewhere in the mountains of Utah that we have to go find.
Whoa.
So it's actually developed by a guy named Abe, and he is the CEO of this app called Treasure Finders. And right now it's exclusively in Utah, but what he does is he makes these little quests and you have to go follow around. You take your phone, get to a GPS location, and you hit dig for treasure. If that GPS location is correct, then it will say, oh, you found it. Then you go on to the next clue. Once you complete these quests full of these clues, then you're able to get a clue to the big $50,000 treasure. And these clues are super, super vague, and you have to have a lot of them to be able to piece them together to find out where this treasure is hidden. And so the $50,000 isn't straight cash money. It's 28,000 of it is straight silver hidden wherever you find it. And then the other part of it is a deed to a truck that you would get along with winning it. So it's a truck and $28,000 all encompassing to $50,000 in prize money. And right now, Julian, we have about 28 clues out of like the 38 that are out right now. So we're a little behind, but it's a fun little adventure that we've been going on so far.
That's crazy. I'm looking at this. This looks legit.
I know. I'm on the website right now too. It says there's a treasure chest worth $50,000 buried in Utah right now. First person to find the chest gets the whole booty.
Man, so if you miss any of the steps, are you out, or like you get a chance to like try
no,
again?
So if you miss a step, it's like you just have to solve the clue. And so they have very good marketing. And so if you get stumped on a clue, you can pay a certain fee and they'll get you past that clue. And if you're lazy, you can just pay your way all the way through all the quests to get the clues, but that's no fun.
Right. So you're 28 in, and you guys are still on track? You're still, like, working towards the treasure?
No, we're behind. So they released a clue every Wednesday and Saturday, I believe. And so we haven't been able to keep up with that kind of pace, especially once school started. Mm-hmm. So we did a bunch over the summer because it started in May. And so we were keeping up with them, and then school started and we're behind now. So I don't know. Whoever finds it is lucky. We'll keep on searching for it, but we're just a little, I don't know. We've lost a little bit of our steam just because it could be anywhere. We don't know. The 28 clues there, we thought it was in a skydiving place for a while, because there's lots of hints hinting toward paragliding. And so there's a town called Lehigh that's really close to a mountain, and people jump off that mountain and just like paraglide into parks and stuff. And so we thought it was there, and we started digging around for a little while and didn't find anything. And there's a coworker of mine who's the one that actually got me into it. And she says that she's sure that it's in a spot in a town called Draper, but she won't tell me any more details because she's afraid I'm going to steal it from her.
Whoa. Yeah.
If she's sure it's there, just go get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea where, though. It's a big place.
Man.
Oh, man.
This looks amazing.
I'm tempted.
They had like
I'm
all
tempted
these...
to take a week off and just come out to Utah with you, Kimball.
All right.
Yeah, come use my clues. Come use my work. But yeah, it'll be fun. And if I find it, I will use my powers for good and travel Europe or something. In my nice truck that they would.
In your nice truck. That you have to get to Europe. You're going to spend all the silver getting your truck to Europe.
I know, but it's so cool. Like, they give you it in silver. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, here's a check that we're going to deposit into your bank account. It's like real pirates.
All right.
Like, you're finding silver.
A little chest with little coins in it. That's amazing.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, invest.
Man, it looks like they've had like some test hunts going. Like, it looks like they did 5 test hunts before the grand hunt that they're on now. People won those. So they've, you know, man, this is crazy.
Yeah. And there's actually one going on today, but to register a team of 4, you have to pay $50 and the grand prize is $2,000, which is cool. But I've heard people, so in those test hunts that you're referring to, people cheat. And so it's all up and down Utah County, and also I think Summit County is what it's called.
This looks like it says Utah and Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake County, that's what it is. And so people just post all 4 of their members up along I-15, which is essentially like Colorado's I-25. And so whenever one person figures out a clue and figures it out, then they send that clue to the person the next level up, and it cuts out travel time. And I thought that was lame, and so I didn't want to do it.
They're hiring.
Got to play the game honest.
They're hiring. They've got a work from home 2 to 3 hour a day position for a sales and account associate.
There we go.
you're probably exempt from finding any treasure if you kind of do that, but it'd be a good way to get some clues.
There you go.
There's a thing that I've done called Urban Adventure Quest. So it's a little bit like this. It's a little bit of a cross between geocaching but the goal is to help you discover and get the lay of a new city. So like if you're ever going to visit a new place that you've never been, like Chicago, per se, you could pull up, look up the Urban Adventure Quest, and like, you know, it's pretty reasonable. It's like $20 for however big your group is. And then it gives you these series of like scavenger hunt style questions that like take you from place to place. You have to answer, you have to solve the clue. It takes you on public transit, so you get a feel for how to actually do the public transit in the place. They're really cool. We went to New Orleans earlier this year, and we used this on the first day we got there, and it gave us a great lay of the land to be able to, you know, find our way around the city and, you know what we wanted to do for the remaining few days. But sounded like this reminded me of that. Urban Adventure Quest is a really cool thing.
We should have used that when we were in Las Vegas, Ben.
We should have.
Yeah.
Dang.
Instead of losing my $100 without even gambling.
Kimball's the type of gambler where he goes to a casino with $100 and it just falls out of his pocket.
Oh no.
It was
that is yeah. That's so telling about Las Vegas. You don't even have to gamble. You just
it was sad. I was just like, Ben and I were walking around. We're like, what's the lowest bet in that we could do for a Texas Hold'em table? And we're both like super nervous because we'd never done anything like that before. So I have my hands in and out of my pockets, and I didn't put my $100 bill that I got out of the ATM in my wallet. And so pulling my hands in and out of my pockets probably pulled the $100 bill out unbeknownst to me. And anyone finds that on the floor of a casino, there's not turning it in or anything. They don't know who it's going to. It's gone.
They're about to turn it into $5.
Yep.
Real quick.
Right. Man, next time you find yourself in a casino, just spend your time walking around looking at the ground a little bit. You'll probably find out.
Maybe if karma comes back around. And maybe I just learned my lesson about how Las Vegas is not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. My one experience there, we weren't even on the strip. We just were in town for a wedding, and man, the vibe. I was ready to go home.
Kimball, we don't fit in Vegas. I'm sorry.
I know. I was hoping I would, but I didn't.
We didn't. Part of me is glad that we didn't, but I mean.
And remember when I was going to bet on the Nuggets against the Lakers? But then I
was going to bring that up. I 100% was going to bring that up because I designed a game that we're going to play later based around that. So I was going to bring that up. We could actually go into the game right now since we don't have any reviews or feedback. We can just dive straight into gaming.
Okay.
If that sounds good.
Let's do it.
And the first game that we're going to play is called Bet You Didn't Know You Could Bet on This. It's about sports betting. And if you need to know anything about sports betting, don't ask Kimbler and I, because I spent about 4 hours in a car with Kimball as he was trying to figure out the rules of sports betting. And he never figured it out. And we just sat there driving as he was like, so if I bet $100 on this, and then this happens, I cover the spread and all that. And then he never figured it out, which is good because, as he said, he was going to bet on the Nuggets to beat the Lakers. And I think you said you were going to bet like $100.
I was going to bet that same $100 that I lost.
Yeah, and you would have lost it anyway because the Nuggets lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no matter what happened, you were going to lose that $100.
Understandable.
Yeah, but now that sports betting is legal many places, this episode is sponsored by DraftKings. No, it's not. But everything is sponsored by DraftKings. And that's also what helped inspire this game, because I cannot watch a single YouTube video without it being sponsored by DraftKings. And what I want to do is, there are like crazy things that you can bet on thanks to like sports betting and all these betting sites. And I was going to quiz Kimball and Daniel about some of those things that you can bet on. So in this game, our two contestants will be given an activity, instance, or sport that they can either bet or not bet on. And each player will be asked their own question. So individual questions for each person. You can either answer, yes, I think you can bet on that, or no, I don't think you can bet on that. The player who gets the most questions correct is the winner. Does that make sense to everyone?
Perfectly question. Clear. You can bet on anything if you want, if you have two willing parties.
Yeah.
I'm basing this off of like, you could download an app or go online and there's a place for you to bet on.
Okay.
This.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I could bet on this game if I really wanted to, but I'm not. I don't want to. So we're going to start with Kimball. Can you or can you not bet on the length of the national anthem sung at the Super Bowl?
Oh yeah, totally. For sure. Over under spread.
Oh yeah, you can totally. That is on most sports betting sites. You can bet on the length of the national anthem that will be sung, like whether it's plus or minus. I also saw one from the last time the Broncos were in the Super Bowl. You could also decide if Peyton Manning was going to have more passing yards in the first half than there were seconds of the national anthem. That was an actual bet that you could place in the Super Bowl. Daniel, yeah. Quidditch. Can you or can you not bet on Quidditch?
Oh man, this is getting tricky. That's a tricky one already, because like I don't know, is there an official Quidditch league? I know I've seen people doing Quidditch in the parks. Man, it feels like a trick question. It feels like you want me to say yes. I'm gonna say no. No, you cannot. Base.
You say no, you cannot bet on Quidditch. Of course, you can bet on Quidditch.
Come on.
Of course, there's a professional Quidditch league.
Is there?
There is. So, Kimball 1, Daniel 0, going to question number 3. Kimball, reindeer racing. Can you bet on those reindeer games?
Reindeer games. Okay.
Well, reindeer racing is just a play on words.
Okay, but there's two ways to think about this. Like, A, I am a man that thinks you should be able to bet on anything that you want. And the reindeer games seems like a very, very, interesting folk that would want to make it even more interesting by throwing a wager on it. But also, the past two questions have been true, so I'm looking for a false. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no on the reindeer games.
Kimball, of course you can bet on reindeer racing. Why would you not be able to bet on reindeer racing?
Fine. I agree with that. I was just trying to play the odds. I was trying to play the game.
Don't play the odds, man. Go with your gut. Oh, Daniel, going into question number 4 in that same vein. Corgi racing. Can you bet on corgi racing?
Of course. Of course you can bet on corgi racing.
Of course you can bet on corgi racing. Yeah. We're going to set it back to Kimball with the score tied 1-1. Kimball, competitive rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, you can bet on that.
For sure. Of course you could bet on competitive rock,
paper,
scissors.
Okay, yeah. I get that.
Of course you can bet on competitive rock, paper, scissors.
This is either the best or the worst game you've ever done. It's a really fine line here. We'll see how it ends.
Daniel, spike ball. Can you bet on competitive spike ball?
Completely. Of course you can.
I could find nowhere on the internet that you can bet on competitive spike ball.
Oh, come on.
Of course you can't bet on spike ball, Daniel. Why would you bet on spike ball?
Spike ball is like across the campuses, universities of this fair nation, and likely abroad, spike ball is one of the fastest growing sports going on out there.
Okay,
there's tournaments all the time.
I looked this one up specifically, and I could, like, when I typed in spike ball betting, like DraftKings website, other betting sites websites would come up, but it was just like a web page on their site that would explain what the game is. There was no links anywhere that you could bet on it. There was no anything like that. And I looked on other sites. I couldn't find a single place to place a spike ball bet.
It's on ESPN. How do you not bet on it?
Right. I don't know. I tried. So the score now, Kimball 2, Daniel 1. Kimball, competitive Rubik's Cube solving. Can you bet on that, Kimball? What'd you say?
I'm going to go with no.
You are correct. I could not find any evidence.
And,
to Kimball's point and to Daniel's point, there are probably ways you can bet on these things. Like if you go there and like, I don't know, there's always some like dark corner of a gymnasium where people are playing Rubik's Cube, where someone's over there taking bets. But like
Rubik's Cube bookies.
Rubik's Cube bookies. I'm basing this solely off what I could find that you could like bet on right now on the internet.
What would you bet on? Just like over or under, like I can do this faster than you. There's no way to real standardize a Rubik's Cube bet.
That one I think would kind of be like horse racing. Like I bet on this guy, Samwise, whatever his name is. I bet he's gonna do that Rubik's Cube in
Samwise
7 seconds. I don't know. How fast do people do Rubik's Cube nowadays?
I don't know. There's machines that can do them in like 6 seconds, maybe less.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, there are humans who are doing Rubik's Cubes in 30 seconds or so. There's people doing Rubik's Cubes one-handed while juggling. Like they're juggling two balls and a Rubik's Cube, and they're solving it as they juggle.
As someone who's never solved a Rubik's Cube in his life, that makes me mad. We should have had Noah. Noah would do like, he would make designs out of his Rubik's Cube. Like, he wouldn't just solve them, but he would have, like, ooh, this side's a square, and this side has an X going through it.
Hmm.
He would do crazy stuff.
Is he taking the stickers off? Come on, Noah.
I don't think so.
Jeez.
Daniel, this next question is to you. The score is 3-1 in favor of Kimball, by the way. Daniel, Ultimate Frisbee. Can you bet on Ultimate Frisbee?
Yes, of course.
Of course you can.
Of course you can.
That makes the score 3-2, and it's still in favor of Kimball. Kimball, competitive dog jumping. Can you bet on competitive dog jumping?
Dog jumping? It's interesting because it's like horse racing. I say, yeah, you can bet on dog jumping.
You actually can't.
Oh.
This is another one I looked up. When I said dog jumping, I was thinking of, like, you know, when you go to the fair and there's always that show of, like, the dog running and jumping and catching a bone and, like, seeing how far they can jump into a swimming pool.
Because there's, like, the dog shows where they do, like, the barrel racing and they do the, like, run
through
the tube.
That's like a dog show. I don't think they have the water jumping at, like, official dog shows. What are they called?
Okay.
Like, yeah. But
yeah, it's a different show for all the competitive stuff. But yeah, they've got it's not like the, what's that big one that shows at Thanksgiving every year, like the one
I was gonna say the Masters, but it's not the Masters.
there's like definitely the dog acrobatics and like the water jumps. Ben, I think you just have not ventured deep enough into the web to find
that's what I said.
This is the innocent
websites that I could actively find currently that had were places you could bet. Kimball, do you remember in eighth grade our teacher, Miss Bittner?
Yes, I do remember Miss Bittner. She's like one of the only teachers I have on Facebook still.
She goes to like all of those big competitive dog shows as a photographer.
Really? Yeah, I remember she was super into those dogs.
Yeah, she has a press pass for that stuff. Final question. The score is 3-2 in favor of Kimball. I've been keeping track the very efficient
right.
on my hands way. Daniel.
Yeah.
This is to tie or for Kimball to win. The WWE. Can you bet on the WWE?
Yes. Feels like a
Daniel
trick question.
Yes.
Feels like you're about to say no, you actually cannot, because no, I couldn't find any place for you to bet on it, blah, blah, blah. But yes, you can bet on the WWE.
Of course you can bet on the WWE.
Yeah, you can.
The thing I don't understand about this one is how. Because the entire thing is scripted.
Oh, right.
You don't know what the script's going to say.
Yeah.
Well, someone does. Couldn't you, like, sue for being like, oh, well, it wasn't truly a fair thing because he was always going to lose. So that one confuses me. But the score ends up tied. And the tiebreaker will be this. You bet in the Super Bowl whether or not somebody will run on the field?
Yes.
Like a fan, not like a football player, like a fan.
Okay. Well, like, in the Super Bowl,
clearly a football player will.
I feel like you can bet on anything. Like, we talked about the national anthem. You can bet on what color Gatorade is going to get dumped on the coach at the end. I am willing to stake my pride, my bragging rights, and this game on yes, you can bet on that.
All right. Daniel, Kimball is very emphatically saying yes.
Emphatic. I mean, I tend to agree with him, but he's kind of staked his claim on the emphaticness. So I guess unless you've got a double tiebreaker.
I don't.
Let's see if Kimball gets it.
Yes, that is something that you can bet on in the Super Bowl. In fact,
right.
Somebody bet on this and won at last year's Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, or this current year's. Whichever one most recently happened.
Mm.
The only problem was he was the person who ran on the field.
That is smart.
So kind of like what I said with, I think he bet he won $50,000 and his fine was a one night stay in prison and $1,000 fine. So he made $49,000.
Right.
But he was the one who ran on the field, so I don't think they allowed him to actually win because they're like, you can't bet that somebody will run on the field and then you're the person who goes and runs on the field.
But like, how do you verify that? If you do it through a third party, it's like...
You're right. If you're using one of those apps or whatever...
I think it was DraftKings or whatever.
It's like... How, they don't know who you are. They're not gonna publicize your name out there because they don't want you to get street cred for doing something they don't want you to do. It'd be worth.
I don't know, man. I'll have to look it up. I just remembered that happened, so I decided I'd use that temporary. So congratulations, Kimball.
Woo!
You won. Bet you didn't know you could bet on this. I did honestly think that it did cross my mind that I should make all 10 questions have the answer be yes.
Right.
But then I was like, I'll find some things that you can't actually bet on. But yeah, sports betting. If you click on a YouTube video, you will find a promo code to use DraftKings. That's all I know. That should be if you could set odds for if when a sports betting app or ad will come on the TV or something. Because I feel like it's every ad break.
Right.
There's some sort of sports betting ad. But that aside, we're going to head into our final game, and this one will be a staple of our show. We're going to play What's the Deal With, the show where I take fun news stories from the past week, and I ask our contestants what the deal is with. So in this game, I'll ask what the deal is with certain things. For instance, what's the deal with wheelbarrows? And then, these things correspond to different wacky news stories from current events. It is Kimball and Daniel's job to tell me what the deal is with those things. And the closest correct answer, or the person whose answer I like the most, so you don't have to be right, you can just make up a creative answer, will get the point. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. Yep. Got it.
Got it. Each person, so I'm going to ask the same question to both of you, and then we'll start with Daniel on this first one. But you'll both give an answer for each prompt, which is, what's the deal with skinny Bostonians?
What's the deal with skinny Bostonians?
Yes.
Oh, man. That is a very good question. Although I think it has something to do with the staple of most Bostonians, Dunkin' Donuts. I think what has happened is Dunkin' Donuts, realizing that they were perpetuating so many people into diabetes and obesity, have changed the formula on their sweet cream, and so it's actually not quite as lethal as it has been. And so Bostonians are finding themselves getting back into shape just by drinking their favorite drink from Dunkin' Donuts. That's the deal with skinny Bostonians.
So this level of self-awareness is coming from a company in the same industry as the one that is now letting you pay $10 a month to eat a free taco every single day.
For a taco, yeah. A free, quote-unquote, taco.
Yeah, right. free, unquote-unquote, yeah. All right, so Dunkin' Donuts using a more healthy creamer for their coffees, says Daniel. Kimball, what's the deal with skinny Bostonians?
Okay, I would respectfully disagree with Dunkin' Donuts' theory. My theory is due to the undue popularity from VeggieTales, everyone wants to go to Boston in the fall. And when they go to Boston in the fall, they want to stay there because it's pretty. But then, due to the increase of population, the housing prices have increased. So all the Bostonians don't have enough to survive. So now they're all just driving around, living out of their 1993 GMC Arcadia with no food to eat. And now they're just skinny. They're thinning up. They're dropping America's obesity rates while enjoying Boston in the fall because of VeggieTales. Thank the Lord.
Wow.
So VeggieTales, Boston in the fall, making people just causing population issues and there not being enough resources. Thanos did nothing wrong. Well, the true answer to what's the deal with skinny Bostonians, Boston's famous Skinny House, which at its largest is only 10 feet wide, sold last Thursday for $1.25 million. The four-story home is 1,165 square feet, which means its cost is $1,072.96 per square foot, which, yes, costs more than my rent.
Because of VeggieTales.
Because of VeggieTales. Actually, Kimball, I am going to give this point to you because you said you talked about the housing market driving the prices up. And this house last sold like 2 years ago for only $900,000. And now it's at $1.25 million. So that housing market is going up. I don't know why anyone would want to live in a 10-foot wide, four-story house. But apparently they do. And it would pay over $1 million to do so. So point goes to Kimball for his answer. Moving on to question number two. And we will start with Kimball this time. What's the deal with Totino's pizza rolls? Aside from the fact that up until I wrote this, I thought it was Tostino's, but it's Totino's.
Well, I think they're undergoing a lawsuit similar to the McDonald's coffee lady. They didn't put enough emphasis in the instructions saying, once you put this in the microwave for 3.5 minutes, it's not full of marinara sauce and possible bits of pepperoni, but it is in fact full of molten lava.
Right.
And so they just didn't cover their butts legally. And honestly, they deserve the whatever lawsuit's coming for them.
So Totino's Pizza Rolls is getting what they deserve, says Kimball.
Sounds like someone who's been burned by one too many Totino's Pizza Rolls.
100%. 100%. If Coffee Lady from McDonald's can do it, so can the rest of us. Rise up.
Rise up. Fight Totino's. Fun fact about that, the McDonald's Coffee Lady, the coffee in the coffee cup that burned her was 190 degrees, which is only 20 degrees below boiling.
Well,
so people are always like, oh, this lady spilled coffee on herself. She sued. She was sitting in a parking lot and the lid fell off and almost boiling coffee spilled all over her.
Well, let me tell you what, they're telling me to cook this thing at 300 degrees, which is greater than boiling.
Right.
It is better than boiling. I'm not saying you don't have a point here. I'm just, I don't know. For some reason, I feel this urge to defend McDonald's lady. Whatever. Daniel, what's the deal with Totino's pizza rolls?
Totino's has realized the pandemic of choice. And so therefore, they are doubling down on Americans' love for choice. For better or for worse, we feel like we need to get more than one flavor. That's why we have a spaghetti aisle with gazillions of options of spaghetti sauce. That's why the chip aisle is now two aisles in most of your grocery stores. In other words, Totino's Pizza Rolls have realized that there is now a market for lots of different flavors of Totino's Pizza Rolls. You can get buffalo chicken Totino's Pizza Rolls. Mm. You can get that arugula mushroom one, whatever it is. They are doubling down on giving more and more choices of pizza roll flavors. That's the deal.
More and more flavors of Totino's Pizza Rolls versus the Totino's lawsuit for their 300 and whatever temperature degree pizza rolls being hot. Well, there's no easy way to say this, but somebody pooped on a bag of Totino's pizza rolls in a freezer in Moore, Oklahoma. The act was discovered after a woman reached for a bag in the freezer and instead got a fistful of poop, and then things really hit the fan. Wow. They did arrest.
Now that's a special flavor.
That's what I call an upper deck.
Right there.
What would you say, Kimball?
That's what I call an upper deck.
That's if you go all the way on the top of the freezer in the King Soopers. They did arrest somebody associated, but he was arrested on other charges other than pooping on Totino's pizza rolls. Apparently, someone had pooped on them and then they covered them up with another bag. And then, somebody went to grab it and, got a load of poop in their hand. We'll just move on from that one. I'm gonna give it to Daniel because that is a different flavor of Totino's that you can now get in the store.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
This reminds me of...
The flavor you never knew you wanted.
Yeah. Your new favorite. This reminds me of, when people would take a thing of ice cream and lick it and then put it back on the shelf. This is just the next layer of that.
TikTok is destroying us all.
TikTok is destroying us all. someone clearly didn't tell this person that if you eat Totino's pizza rolls, you have to be have a bathroom within like 6 feet of you while you're eating them.
I feel like this podcast this week has a theme. It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. Whatever. All right. Our final question with the score tied 1-1. We're going to start with Daniel. What's the deal with cars? Very vague.
All of them? Just all the cars?
Cars.
Hmm.
I could get more specific, but I don't know if you want
it. Cars. Yeah, I don't know. Well, as we all know, this isn't a surprise to any of us. Cars are getting smarter and smarter. They're putting more and more technology into these cars. I mean, depending, some of the cars that you get these days are essentially like taking over the AI effect of cars. And so the deal is cars are getting a little too smart for their own good, and they're starting to backfire. So we've heard these stories of, you know, the auto driving cars getting into wrecks and all that kind of stuff. So the deal is you cannot trust your car. It's too smart for you, and it's going to take over. That's the deal with cars.
The car uprising, says Daniel. Right. That's the deal with cars.
Right.
Kimball.
Well, I honestly think that cars are obsolete these days. With all the fancy, like, bikes and feet and, you know, other modes of transportation, now save the environment.
all the fancy feet.
You know, like going along like the Boston vein, like the housing market's high, so is the car market. We're just waiting for it to all crash down. We're just waiting. So I'm just chilling on my two, like, Nikes, my Reeboks, just getting to and from. Going to and from.
Blade scooter.
Yeah, it'll work. They get me where I need to go. There's not a crazy market on them. And it's good for the environment.
So
no fossil fuels.
Back to basics for Kimball.
Back to basics. So what you're saying is, your response to the question is, what's the deal with cars? Your response is shoes.
No, the deal with cars is that they're obsolete. You don't need them anymore.
The obsolescence of cars. Perfect.
They've seen their day.
So that's very different. So like we have the uprisings of cars from Daniel, mm-hmm. and the obsolescence of cars from Kimball. Well, what's the deal with cars? Jorge Arias has set a world record in something that can only be described as vital to human existence. He now has the Guinness World Record for pieces of memorabilia from the movie Cars. Arias originally bought a toy for his daughter to play with and now has over 12,000 pieces of memorabilia. Arias said, "I kept buying them without knowing how many there really are, and since then I haven't stopped collecting, because that's exactly how collecting things works."
Oh, hoarding. There's a fine line between says collecting and hoarding, let me tell you.
Says the baseball card collector.
Yes. But like, the way he, like, that quote is just like, I just don't know how many there were, and I just kept buying them. I'm well aware of the number of baseball cards, and I'll never be able to own all of them. Forever the reason this man is determined to own every single piece of Cars memorabilia that can be owned. Definitely going for Dad of the Year, though, if he bought all of them for his daughter.
Right.
Like,
I somehow have a feeling she's not playing with all these.
I don't think she is. Like, oh, you want a Cars toy? Here's all of them.
Rusty's.
Sounds like the proliferation of Cars memorabilia is strong.
The article that I saw from this also said that he got invited to the premiere of Cars 3 because of how popular he was with his Cars collection. As for who gets the point between an uprising of cars and the obsolescence of cars, I think I'm going to have to give it to Daniel because, I don't know, this is far from obsolete. This one man is right. Single-handedly keeping the Cars franchise from falling into obsolescence.
Okay, but honestly, who went and saw Cars 3? I'd say that's pretty obsolete to me, man.
That's a good argument.
After
good point.
Didn't Cars 2 have some kind of weird like super spy mission to it, and then Cars 3 was just like,
I've seen Cars 3. Cars 3, it was about Owen Wilson getting old as a car.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see it. I don't even know.
Yeah. And it also had Larry the Cable Guy in it, starring Owen Wilson and Sofia Vergara. Actually, I don't know if Sofia Vergara was in it. I just said that. She was the only other celebrity that came to mind. But because of that, I'm going to give the point to Daniel, and that means Daniel wins What's the Deal With this week. And in the spirit of Cars, I'm just going to give you a nice wow. As your prize. You get an Owen Wilson wow.
Nice.
So congratulations to Kimball. Congratulations to Daniel. You both won a game this week, and I won the gift of your guys' friendship.
Go me.
Just happy to be here.
crickets. Insert crickets sound here.
Insert crickets in here. For victory speeches, do either of you have anything you would like to add?
Nope, it's been great to hang out with you guys today. Nice meeting you, Kimball.
Yeah, nice good to meet job. You too. I was happy to be here. When Ben offered, hey, you want to be on a podcast? I was like, I've never been on a podcast before. Why not? Let's do it.
Now you can add that to your CV.
There we go.
Yep. Kimball Taylor, neuroscience and podcast.
Right.
Just one.
And Ben, you taught me how to clap with one hand, and I actually used that as a flex in my neuroscience class the other day. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. Wow. What layer of neuroscience is that a flex on?
No, it was just like go around and tell someone that something that you can do that most other people can't do. And I said, I can clap with one hand. And I did. And everyone looked at me weird.
This is the benefit of having me as a friend in elementary, middle, and high school. Like, oh, I can clap with one hand.
It's weird.
It is weird. Well, thank you all so much for listening, because we're all winners here at Noodles at Noon. Y'all are the true winners. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And until then, go to noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
Join the Discord and listen to all of our shows in 1 week and tell us what you think. Okay, go! Bye!